I was honored to be asked here today to speak. This obviously isn't my normal role, so bear with me. The topic I'm going to speak on today is the American dream. Growing up here in the United States, or if you've come here to America, pretty much everyone's aware of the American dream. Or got your own idea of what it entails. Dictionary definition is the American dream, the notion that the American social, economic, and political system makes success possible for every individual. One internet source, Wise Geek, defines it this way. The term American dream is used in many ways, but it is essentially an idea that suggests that anyone in the United States can succeed through hard work and has the potential to lead a happy, successful life. Many people have expanded upon or refined the definition to include such things as freedoms, fulfillment, and meaningful relationships. Someone who manages to achieve his or her vision of the American dream is often said to be living the dream. The idea of an American dream is older than the United States, dating to the 1600s, when people began to have all sorts of hopes and aspirations for what a new and largely unexplored continent to European immigrants might be like. Many of these dreams focused on owning land and establishing a prosperous business that theoretically, at least, would increase one's happiness. Okay. As you can see, I have something up here that will be revealed later in the talk. Hopefully, this will pique your interest and keep you from falling asleep. I thought back on some of the most rememberable sermons that I got to be listened to, and I remember a lot of them having props. So you people get to be a guinea pig, and so we see if poor sermon plus a prop equals a good sermon. So, I kind of got my doubts, but we'll see. My personal feelings on the American dream when I was growing up, something seems like I don't remember not having the American dream in my head. But for me, it was you had to go to school, you had to work hard, you had to get a college education, then you get a job, and then you work hard at your job, and then you get promoted, and you get successful, you got money, buy the things you want, you do the things you want. You get married, have a family, travel, vacations, you know, fast snowmobile, things like that. So even though I despised school as a kid, I hated it. But even though I hated school, I knew that I had to go to college because otherwise I just wouldn't be successful. At least that was what I had in my mind, and was probably pressured into that too, not necessarily purposely, but just, you know, you're going to school. So even though I hated college, or hated school period, I went to college, and I even went to a vet school, which required 7 years instead of the normal 4 years of schooling. I got married to my lovely wife. That was during my first year of veterinary school. And 3 years later, I graduated and got a job in Bushnell, Illinois. If you guys aren't familiar with Bushnell, Illinois, its claim to fame is that that is where barbed wire was invented. So pretty interesting. So. no, that did same name, but yep. So after signing a contract for my first veterinary position, we, you know, tried to get going on this American dream. So the first thing we did is go buy a new truck. I got a picture of that, hopefully. There he is. I don't know if you can see it. It's the one on the left. The one on the right is actually was a veterinary truck. And that's my lovely wife right there. So I got both. Yeah, she looks the same. That's true. Yeah. It's actually silver, but the sun's hitting it. But yeah, so anyways. See, for a lot of guys, country guys specifically, having that big four-wheel drive pickup, that's when you know you've arrived. Right, Stan? Yeah. Yep. So you know, got married, got a beautiful wife, got her truck, got my job. You know, we're getting there, right? But in reality, true happiness, no. It's, haven't got there yet. So, must be a few more things we got to get crossed off on that list. So, a couple years later, I got a different job, and we moved from Illinois to the southern Black Hills of South Dakota. There, we were able to purchase our own country home with a few acres and room for the horses. Picture two. Okay, I don't know if you can see, there's actually that's a wood porch, stone porch setting there, and the people that built this house, the wife would literally go out into the field with her apron and fill her apron up with stones and bring it back so the husband could build her this porch. And it's, you know, the picture doesn't do it justice. It's very beautiful. There's actually a lot of fossils. There's petrified wood in that porch. It's really cool. So now we got our own home. You know, that's, now we should be there. We got the truck, got the wife, you know, got the job, got the house. But still, we're still missing something. We're just still not totally happy. So, 3 years later, you got a theme going here. 3 years later, when my wife finished her accounting degree, we moved again, this time to Fort Pierce, South Dakota. Both of us had new jobs, and we're making significantly more money. We purchased property and built a house in a horse barn overlooking Lake Oahe. Picture three and then picture four. Yeah, that one doesn't look so good. Go on to the next one. But that's our house. There's a big porch on the front. And that was a view. There's the horses. There's a horse barn down there. But yeah, that's the view we basically woke up to every morning. Yep, yeah. For people don't know Lake Oahe real good, right there in front of us is what they called the False Twin Bays. There's another Twin Bay, and then there's a False Twin Bays. But this is False Twin Bays on the south side of Lake Oahe. But yeah, it's gorgeous. So now, hey, in most people's minds, in my mind, this is it. You know, we've arrived. Still, you know, we definitely had holes in our hearts. in our lives. We weren't feeling like we were living the American dream. I felt like I was spinning my wheels. I kept moving forward, trying to meet my goals, but after meeting them, never felt content or at peace. During our time in Pierre, both Patty and I found Christ through a series of events that led us to attend River Center Church, where we found true Christians that seriously walked out their faith on a daily basis. Jeff and Autumn being two of them, Pastor Dallas and Sarah. Yeah, I mean, just lots of them. I mean, it wasn't just two people there. It was a family situation, really. I mean, we owe everything to what those people did and are still doing. So, now, my newfound faith showed me that there is no true long-term happiness outside of a deep, real relationship with our Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ. Every other fulfilled dream that gave happiness was short-term and unmeaningful. When I gave my life to Christ, I had to reprioritize my life, my thoughts, my actions, and my goals. In reflection, I had to rethink my American dream. There are several verses and Bible teachings that are very contrary to what my American dream goals were, such as, and I have most of the verses in the handout, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how the ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." My American dream is not to be poor, hungry, and sad and hated. I want everyone to speak well of me. I want to be comfortable, not necessarily rich, but not poor. I want to afford a comfortable living. I don't want to be hungry. I don't want to mourn. This is totally contrary to my way of thinking. Let's look at another verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. I figured out for me that my concept of the American dream and my drive to fulfill it had my priorities all misplaced and a huge distraction from finding and following God. So I gave up my American dream and began to live for Christ. When my wife and I heard this call to become part of this church plant, it was easy to leave our jobs and home. However, this brings me to the point of my sermon. My first thought for the title of the sermon was My Struggle. And it would be however, there's a famous book written by Adolf Hitler of that title, so I didn't want to have that part of it, but it's my struggle with the American dream is really what I'm trying to portray. See, I struggle with the concept of the American dream that was placed in my head at a very young age. To be a success, and that failure is not an option. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to struggle to pay the bills or provide for my family. I want to have a successful business and a nice home. However, and this is your first blank, God has taught me that being comfortable is not a good place, at least for me. Several years ago, shortly after starting the veterinary clinic, there came a point where we had a huge bill to pay, and that we were going to be over $10,000 short. Now, not being able to pay my bills for me is complete failure. It's like being around a Cornhusker fan on a Sunday after they lost to Iowa State. It's that bad. So this unpaid bill was heavy on my heart and soul. At that time, I had a continuing education meeting at Deadwood, South Dakota. As a veterinarian, you have to, every couple years, you have to put in so many hours of continuing education to maintain your license. So, so I didn't necessarily have to attend this one, but I would have to attend some. So, anyways, this meeting was sponsored by a drug company. So they provide a hotel and meals. And also a fun day of snowmobiling. So it would be minimal cost to us, but however, there's still a cost of getting there and back. So we hemmed and hawed about going or not going, and in the end, we ended up going. While we were out there on the Saturday evening looking for a place to have supper, we had stumbled on a new restaurant in town. We went in not knowing that this was a very fancy restaurant. One that you're supposed to have reservations days in advance. However, we walked in, and they were very nice and accommodated us, and just had us wait a little bit, and they found a table and everything. So we didn't know this at the time, but this was a Christian-operated restaurant. This restaurant also had a gift shop. While we were waiting to be seated, Patty went looking around, and she came and got me and wanted me to look at a painting. Now keep in mind, I am broke. I've got this huge bill that I don't know how I'm going to pay it. We have stumbled into this restaurant, and these people are nice enough to accommodate us, and I've got no idea how in the world I'm going to afford this, because this looks too expensive. Okay? So I've got all this weighing on my head, and my wife comes and finds me like, oh, like, we need to go purchase a painting. Okay? That's not my top priority at the moment. Okay? But being married, yes, dear. Yeah, so reluctantly, I went and looked. When I saw it, I think I started to cry. At least internally, if not outwardly. I don't remember what it cost, but it was a lot more than what I could afford at the time. However, God was speaking to me through this painting. So, I knew that I needed to purchase this painting on faith, so we did. Now, keep in mind, it's winter. Our business is a veterinary clinic that primarily deals with cattle and horses. and it's about ready to collapse. Are you guys ready to see the painting?
Yeah.
Okay. So the prop works to keep people awake. So we got that. So still don't know if it turns a poor sermon into an all right sermon, but the you cheated. Okay. Yeah, the covering didn't give it away. Okay. All right. So I will bring it up here. For the people in back and the one person that stumbled upon this message on the internet, and by the way, don't judge this website by this sermon. Go ahead and click on any other ones and you'll be blessed. But the picture is of a cowboy in the wintertime carrying or riding a horse carrying a newborn calf. And the top scripture is from Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4, and it says, I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Amen. See, this was God's answer to me. We had given this clinic to God. I had built this clinic because I had a calling from God to do so. When we had told God it was his, if he wanted to close it, then so be it. We did make it home, and I mounted this picture right beside the door, so when people exit the clinic, they go right by this painting. Now, I'd like to tell you that after we got home, all the money showed up, so we paid off the bills immediately, and we haven't had a problem since. But that would be a fairy tale. There have been several times and situations that has led me back to this painting. It has been a constant struggle, and there have been bills that make that $10,000 bill look like a molehill. But God has always provided, and we are still going and growing. Not because of me, but because of God. After experiencing this and other times, where I've had to totally rely on God, I understand some other scriptures better, such as 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Here's your blank 2 and 3. See, if I was comfortable and or rich, I wouldn't be relying on God. I would be relying on myself, just like I did before I was saved. However, I still constantly struggle with the desire to be comfortable. Whenever we get some of the mortgage on the clinic paid down, I think, oh, if I could only get that paid off, then life would be easy, and I wouldn't have to work so hard. Or when I think, oh, I've been in this profession for 21 years, I'm over halfway through. In only 19 short more years, I'll be at the retirement age. Yeah, my brother-in-law, he's already retired. He's older than me, but not 19 years. So I think about that and how nice it'd be to be retired. However, we are not to look forward to a comfortable place in this world. We are not supposed to make a peace with this world. Jesus teaches us. John chapter 12, verse 25. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. John chapter 15, verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Matthew 10, verses 34 through 39. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves her father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves her son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This world has been flawed ever since Adam and Eve gave in to Satan's temptation and sinned against God. God is preparing a new heaven and a new Jerusalem for his people. If his people have become comfortable in this world, what is their motivation to pursue God? This reminds me of the message the prophet Haggai gave about the rebuilding of the temple. For background, here's what has been going on. The first Persian ruler, Cyrus, has allowed an expedition of detainees, captured Jews, approximately 50,000, were allowed to return to Judea to resettle the land and rebuild the temple in 538 BC. In 2 years, in 536 BC, they had finished the foundation of the temple. However, after that, the work on the temple was halted due to economic and political opposition. When Darius ascended the throne in 522 BC, war broke out in many sections of the empire. After 2 years of strenuous campaigning, peace was restored. And it was at this time that Haggai encouraged the people under the dual leadership of the governor Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua to begin rebuilding. Haggai 1, verses 2 through 11. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drank but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on the labor of your hands. Now imagine these Jews that got released and got to go back to Jerusalem. I'm sure they had great hopes and aspirations to serve God and reestablish the Jewish state and rebuild a holy temple for God so his presence could dwell amongst their people. We could call this they had a Judean dream. However, after 2 years of working and having the foundation built, they stopped. They didn't say that they weren't going to build the temple. They just said, time's not right. We'll work on it later. You know. But it obviously wasn't what God had intended. They apparently had become too concerned with their own affairs and placed God on the back shelf. So, that's a struggle for me. I don't know if it's a struggle for you, but it's a struggle for me. So I have to deal with that. And now, I just want to say this. I don't think that everyone that has fulfilled their version of the American dream or that has become successful or has accumulated wealth are necessarily against God. It's a hard issue, and it's a matter of priorities. For me, my desire to become successful and live a comfortable lifestyle is a huge distraction from God. It has led me to a revised American dream, which is this. I want my family to live a life surrendered to and obedient to our Father God. I also hope that I'm able to help others come to the place of surrender in their lives too. Now, I know part of this message may seem like a repeat of some of the points that Pastor Jeff made last week and that Cecile made a couple weeks ago in her teaching, which are both very good and highly recommend you listening to them. But this was laid on my heart before, and so I almost tried to change it, but God confirmed that I was supposed to give this message by letting me know, you know, there's several events in the Bible that are re-discussed in another book of the Bible. So that was my reasoning for bringing it forward. I hope the message will benefit you. With that, I'd like to lead us in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Lord, I just lift up your word and your message, Lord. And I pray that it speaks to our hearts. And Lord, that you were able to point out the areas where we need to surrender to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for your courage and your blessing to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.